closing out, if you like, the birth narrative of Jesus as we look through Luke, just to take some time this Communion Sunday to think about Simeon and Anna in the temple. For me, though, it starts off with a couple of questions, because the passage that Robert read to us finishes with Mary and Joseph going back to Galilee. And if you're like me, well, the questions are there thinking, surely they went to Egypt. What's the story? And how do we understand that? Now, if we think last week, although we were looking through Luke, we looked in Matthew at the three wise men. And actually, the scholars seem to think Mary and Joseph, Bethlehem, Jerusalem to the temple, back to Nazareth, and maybe about 2.5 years later, the Magi, the wise men, appeared. They came to the house and not the stable. And there's lots of thought in and around there. So actually the dream and flee to Egypt most likely happens when Jesus is not an infant in arms, but as a little boy at maybe 2, 2.5. How do you understand this in the passage? And you understand it easily when you understand it that way. They're back home in Nazareth, and that's where the wise men come to. Don't like that story. That's not the way we do it in school. So there's a question there. There's also another question in this, because I've always read the passage that we've looked at this morning about the boy Jesus presented at the temple. And actually, that's over a 40-day period. 8 days is one act of worship, and then a full 40 days is another 2 acts of worship. So let's jump in. I hope I'm not exploding your mind, but hopefully it'll make sense. What we find in Mary and Joseph are a righteous couple who want to follow the Lord with all their hearts. Actually, the last verse, or we're coming to the last verses in the passage again, Robert read that when Mary and Joseph had fulfilled all the regulations of the law, they went home. They were a couple who sought to live righteously before the Lord. They wanted to serve God with all their hearts. Verse 21, 8 days after Jesus' birth is the ceremony of circumcision. It's dedicating your child, bringing it in to the family of the Lord. So verse 21 tells us of 8 days after Jesus' birth. Let me just actually read the verse itself. On the 8th day, there it tells us, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had even been conceived. So 8 days, circumcision. Verses 22 and 23 then also tell us, 40 days. So 40 days, when the time for their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer the sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or 2 young pigeons. Folks, this is the circumcision in verse 21. Here in verse 22 and 23, there is redemption. I had never read this. But actually, for your firstborn child, your firstborn male child, you pay a redemption price in the temple. It's a small amount of money. It's 5 shekels tied in with Numbers 18. Let me just read it to you. Everything in Israel that is devoted to the Lord is yours, the first offspring of your womb, both man and animal, and that offered to the Lord is yours. But you must redeem every firstborn son and every firstborn male of unclean animals. When they are a month old, you must redeem them at the redemption price set at 5 shekels of silver, according to the sanctuary shekel, which weighs 20 gerahs. We all know what that means, don't we? But here, Mary and Joseph wanted to pay the redemption price for Jesus. Even with the miraculous birth, they wanted to pay the redemption price. Verse 24 in the passage is the purification rite. So after a lady has given birth, 40 days for a male, 80 days for a female, you're then to come for purification. And the priest declares you clean as you bring, you see where it says the two young doves? Well, actually, a lamb and a young dove or young pigeon, or if you can't afford it, two young pigeons. That's the poor price. Mary and Joseph paid that price, folks. But look at the screen. Circumcision, that this child is dedicated to the Lord. Redemption of the firstborn. Oh my goodness, how does that story sit in the infant of the arms that Mary is holding? The redemption price paid. And then the desire to be clean before the Lord. To know that purification. To know that you're clean. To know that you've fulfilled and you're living the way God wants. If you are Mary and Joseph, folks, in this story, they're eager to fulfill the law of the Lord. Look again at verse 39. After they had fulfilled everything asked of the law, they're a couple who are righteous, who want to serve their God and do the right thing. So they commit their little one to the Lord in circumcision. They pay the redemption price. And again, that picture in Jesus is just phenomenal. And they want Mary to be clean before the Lord. Imagine in their story, you're looking back over this last year and a bit, from the angel first turned up and told you that you were expecting the Messiah, the promised one of God, to all that you've experienced in the last 45 days as you've come to Bethlehem, as the shepherds have turned up, as the angel has turned up with the choir to the shepherds, and the shepherds tell you this. My goodness, what is going on in our lives? What is the story? And so you also look within to think, why has the Lord chosen me? And then I'm sure they're looking forward to say, what does all this mean and where is this going in the days ahead? From all that the angel told me, Mary and Joseph, and the shepherds who landed in with us. What's going on? And they're standing in the temple fulfilling the law. And then all of a sudden, this gentleman comes walking up to them. And he just explodes in praise. The revelation of Simeon. How do we even begin to understand that? What did he see? He saw a young couple with an infant in their arms, but he saw so, so much more. And as Mary and Joseph are standing there in the temple, seeking to serve and live in righteousness, for Simeon, there's a revelation that is sensed. The Holy Spirit says to him he would not die before he has seen the Lord's Christ. And when he sees this young couple and their little infant, he knows that moment has come. Wow. 3 times in the passage, the Holy Spirit said to Simeon, the Holy Spirit said to Simeon, the Holy Spirit spoke to Simeon. 3 times. In the passage, there is a revelation that is sensed. And then verses 29 through to 32 he tells us that there's a revelation that is seen. Let's actually read those verses, verse 29 through to 32. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. It's known as the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now release your servant, for my eyes have seen. That revelation is complete. There's a personal side to it. For my eyes have seen your salvation. And there is a universal side to it. A light for revelation for the Gentiles, for all people. That salvation, which was for the Hebrews, God now declares, as he has in the past, it is for all people. And Simeon senses God speaking to him and says, my eyes have now seen your revelation. And then, folks, there's a revelation that is spoken. There's a revelation that is spoken. Let me again read, and follow with me, please, verse 34 and 35. Verses 34 and 35. Then Simeon blessed them. Hold that little thought. And he said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that is spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. That's a blessing. Oh my goodness. Simeon blessed them and said. And then there's three words of prophecy, and actually Michael Card very helpfully says, Simeon next utters a prophecy, most of which he would have rather bitten his tongue than spoken. Let me read that again. Simeon next utters a prophecy, but most of which he would rather have bitten his tongue than spoken. Mary, Joseph, your son is going to be the cause of division, to cause the falling and rising of many. Your baby, Jesus, is going to divide people. Those who follow, those who don't. 2 Corinthians, to some the smell of death, to some the aroma of life. Your son is going to be one who experiences derision, a sign that will be spoken against. Folks, where does this fit with gentle Jesus, meek and mild? And where does this fit? Because Jesus here is a little baby in arms. And the prophet Simeon says he's going to divide people and he's going to be derided by people. For you and I, be it in the office, be it in the farmyard, be it wherever it be, loving Jesus is going to divide people in your company. That's the culture we live in. It's the spiritual warfare we live in. Verse 35. And a sword is going to pierce your own soul, Mary. Death is coming. Simeon blessed the couple. And then spoke these words. There's a revelation that is sensed. There's a revelation now that my eyes have seen. But the revelation spoken is painful and hard. But looking at the one who is our Redeemer, that's, folks, what the table reminds us about. The derision and the division that Jesus brought led to the cross. Now, within God's will, we don't understand it. And it's painful. And that sword that pierced Mary's soul as she stood at the foot of the cross watching her son die. See, Jesus demands a response, and redemption comes at a cost. The righteousness of Mary and Joseph seeking to serve their Lord, the revelation seen by Simeon and the redemption spoken of by Anna. And here, doing the sums again, well, let's just step through. Her pedigree was that she was of the tribe of Asher. Apparently, the ladies of Asher were beautiful ladies. But Anna had been married for 7 years and then lost her husband. And we don't know if she's now 84 and 84 years a widow, or married and then 84 years, so she's actually 84, or if you do the sums correctly and she's not married till she's about 20 or maybe in her mid-teens, she's possibly in her early 100s, this lady. And she waits in the temple. What is her practice? Every day she waits in the temple courts and she prays. And she gives thanks to God. And again, if you're Mary and Joseph, well, Simeon has just spoken to you and your head is reeling. And now this elderly lady comes up to you. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84, or possibly longer. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, and coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem, but just looking forward to the Redeemer, to the one who would redeem his people. William Barclay just helpfully says, she never ceased to hope, to worship, and to pray. She never ceased to hope for the promised one to come, to worship her God, and to pray. Let's pull things together, because you're thinking, so what? What happens, and where do we go with this? Luke then introduces us to Jesus. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to the town of Nazareth, verse 40, and the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The birth narrative is complete, and we're now looking at Jesus. Physically, he grew strong. Spiritually, he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. But N.T. Wright helpfully says, for you and I, and this is where we want to go this morning, no matter who or where you are, the story of Jesus, from the cradle to the cross, can become your story. Can I ask you this first Sunday of the new year, as you look back, as we come to the table and you look within, and as we look forward into a new year, is the story of Jesus your story? Where do you fit within this? Sometimes that story is not an easy story. The words painfully shared by Simeon to Mary and Joseph were not easy words. And sometimes our journey of faith is painful. But is the story of Jesus your story? Are you adopted, folks, into that today? As I thought back, just think back over the Christmas services. For the old, the obscure, the outcast, the outsider. Maybe you fall into one of those categories. The old priest, Zechariah. The obscure teenagers, Mary and Joseph, caught up in the story of God. The outcast shepherds who weren't allowed to be witnesses in court or worship in the temple. But yet God reveals himself to them. The outsider travelers who came from a foreign country and worshipped other gods, and yet they're invited into the story with hungry hearts. And here now the old priest, and the old prophet, who again God reveals himself to and through to this young couple. Folks, for you, for me, no matter who or where you are, the story of Jesus from the cradle to the cross can become your story. And this first Sunday of the new year, as you look back, where has the Lord brought you in that story? As you look within, as we come to the table, where are you now in that story? And as you look forward with faith, trusting he who walks with us, the God of the promise, the God who desires purity, the God who brings us a word of prophecy, what does he have to say to you this morning as we worship him?